Never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report. Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Notice how I just had to fly in like that. That's because right before the show, I was gearing up. How do I look? How's that look? Oh, wait. I got a wire hanging there. Hang on. Hang on. Just talk amongst yourselves there. All right. It gets a little bit frustrating right before the show sometimes, especially when people like me don't show up on time. Anyway, we broadcast live each and every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. We're simulcast on BTR, Blog Talk Radio, and archived there as well. You can watch us as well and on our YouTube channel. That's just go to HagmanHagman.com, click on our YouTube channel, and hey, there we are in living color. 720p, actually, right? Soon to be high def. We'll get there. We'll get there. That's for sure. And I just want to welcome everyone in. Welcome, and thank you so much for all of your emails. We get just a lot of emails before every show and after every show, and we read them all. Can't respond to them all, but we read them all, certainly. And we just want to say thank you so much for everything that you're doing for us and all of the feedback that you're giving us and guest suggestions and what have you. We really appreciate that. And I'm Doug Hagman at the helm. And to my right is fellow investigator, researcher, and the guy that's reaching down under the desk, Joe Hagman.
Yeah, to get my pen.
Yeah, together we are the Hagman and the Hagman Report, what I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. And that's what I believe we are. Portions of the nice broadcast brought to you by Pro Flowers. Folks, guys, have you taken care of mom? Have you taken care of your wife yet? Mother's Day is coming up. Have you taken care of the mother of your children? Mother's Day is coming up. Oh, man. You know, women love flowers. And I know some guys who like to get flowers, too. Men. I'm talking men. Not just, you know, I'm talking guys. They like to get flowers, too. But having said that,
the flowers from my neighbor's garden,
yes,
I'll go with Pro Flowers this time.
You know, when you were small, I'll tell you the story. It was Mother's Day, and he was, I don't know, maybe 3, 4. You were walking and kind of talking, and you wanted to give your mom flowers, so you actually did that. You actually walked to the neighbors, okay, and you had a pair of these, you know, the folks, you know, the plastic scissors with the that you get that. For kids, right? And he went over and he cut, I don't know, more than he could handle. There were tulips, various flowers. And he was so proud of himself because it was the neighbor's house. And he cut all the flowers and he was carrying them back. And, our neighbor called me and said, you know what your son did? I said, no. And she said, he cut all my flowers. And I said, man, I'm sorry. You know, I'm really sorry. How do you, like, you can't reattach the flowers to the plants. But she said, I watched him do it. And she could have stopped him. And she said, I watched him do it. And she said, it was the cutest thing. Now, back then, if they would have had iPhones or something like that, it would have made a cute picture. But so he comes in beaming with flowers. So definitely Pro Flowers. That's a much better choice, isn't it? Pro Flowers. Folks, here's the deal. There's a great offer. You can get mom or your wife or that special someone 100 blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can even upgrade it, make her day a little bit more special. Have some chocolates in there and a premium vase. It's beautiful. For just $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com today. That's proflowers.com today. And here's the key. In the microphone box, use our code Hagman. H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Otherwise, we don't get credit and no one likes us. And, you know, Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. And even if you're not listening to this program, just type in the code Hagman in the microphone box.
Yeah.
Think about that, what I just said. Of course not, right? Yeah. So we've got a great show for you planned tonight. Joe, last night we had just an array of guests. We had an array of guests on. And it was a great show. It really was. We had Pastor David Langford, Reverend Flip Benham. We had John Robertson. John basically kind of coordinated everything. We had Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, a star in his own right, busting out shoe leather to take on Target in that whole issue. Featured on Breitbart yesterday. Everyone should be supporting Pass the Salt Ministries, ptsalt.com, the Salt and Light Brigade. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer is a guy out there making a difference. He's America's coach. He is absolutely America's coach. I will follow him onto the football field as I get mowed down by the refrigerator. Perry. Is he still playing?
Who?
I don't know. Who do they call a refrigerator?
I think you're thinking of a Chicago Bears lineman.
Joe Perry or something? Or Perry?
Yeah, he's not playing anymore. Definitely not playing anymore.
How about Don Meredith and Joe Namath?
Oh, Joe Namath, he still plays. Starting quarterback for Cleveland Browns.
Okay. And Bernie Kosar? What happened to him?
He plays for the Utica Hound Dogs.
You know, something tells me you're funning me. Also, folks, portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. You want to get mellow? Boy, that sounded pretty weird, didn't it? You want to get mellow? Go outside and roll a fat one or fatty. What do they call that? I'm not even into that lingo anymore. But anyway, no. That's not what I'm talking about. WholeTonesLive.com. Whole Tones Live, they've got a great product. They give you such a great product at WholeTonesLive.com. You can download free samples of the music. And this is music that we play in the background here in our studio when we're having a rough day. All the time. It just depends. They've got different frequencies that'll affect your temperament. And some people say, well, man, that sounds a lot like New Age. No, it's not. It's based on the sound principle, biblical principles of King David in the Bible. So that's WholeTonesLive.com. More on that later as well. And I keep, Eric is throwing stuff at me. I keep hitting the camera and stuff. So
actually,
sorry about that.
Last night, I was the last one to leave the studio. On the way out, I knocked the camera over.
I actually left. Can you believe that? I actually left before. That's one of the very few times that I was out the door. I don't even think the music stopped playing and I was out the door. But I had such a headache last night. But I don't know. It was had a really bad head and neck ache and really, really tired last night. But that's what you get. And then I got up at 1:30 this morning with the same headache, and I actually came to the office shortly thereafter, sat in the chair, promptly fell asleep until about 4 o'clock, and then worked. So anyway. I just want to welcome everyone in tonight. Now, because last night we did not have open lines or open line Wednesday, tonight it's going to be open lines. We're going to hit some news today, and we're going to hit the hit some news right away. Joe, if I can just take this real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, because here's what I want to do. Many people. Okay, there we go. I just had to get my notes straight. Many people are confused about Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton in terms of what she's done. What has she done? You know, Snopes, or I shouldn't say Snopes. I'm not sure if they're running this, so I'd retract that. Certain websites and certain forums will come out and say, this Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton's behavior as Secretary of State, there's nothing there. There's a lot of nothing. Well, we did some digging and talking with some investigative professionals, as well as people at state, as well as collecting open source information. And here's what we found. Clinton, Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton, served as Secretary of State from 2009 to 2013. She conducted State Department business using a computer server, her own. So she sent and received thousands of classified emails on a private server stored in the bathroom of a company in Boulder, Colorado. Now, she had her own server under her control. Now, there was a time, you have to understand, too, there was a time when that server... And there's a question whether there was a secondary server or a backup server at her residence in New York State. Regardless, whatever platform she used, the server was not secure. It could not scramble. It could not encrypt classified information. Now, when the server was at Pagliano, under the control of a guy by the name of Brian Pagliano, who was eventually awarded a State Department IT contract position. But there were no security clearances to handle the classified information, and just that alone right there are violations of national security laws. Think about that. So what is classified information? For example, does it become classified, or is it, I mean, what's the deal with this? Well, the lowest level of classified material is designated confidential. Now think about this and understand what I'm saying here. You get something, it's marked confidential. Then above that is secret, and above that is top secret. So there's confidential, secret, and top secret. Any of those levels of classified information, they might also have subsections. And I'll give you an example. And there is a website that has this broken down. I want to attribute this to the proper website. I will do so later in the program. But so there's confidential, secret, top secret, and then there's subsections such as no foreign dissemination, which is abbreviated no foreign, NORFORN. Okay. And here is a picture of a document. We're not saying this has anything to do with Hillary Rodham Clinton, but no. If you look at the top, folks, those watching live on YouTube, if you look at the top, you'll see the classification, and you'll see it somewhat marked out.
Yeah, it has a line through it. It says top secret on it. Underneath, it says unclassified.
Special handling, special handling, no foreign, which is no foreign dissemination. And, again, you probably cannot make this out very well. Let me see if I can get this a little bit closer to the camera for those people watching at home. You can clearly make out that
top secret, yeah. Special handling. That's all I can read.
So, okay, basically what I'm telling you is this is how they arrive. This is how the material arrives. The highest level of classified information, the highest levels are known as above top secret. Above top secret. But really what they are, I mean, that's kind of a colloquialism, above top secret. What they really are is SCI. SCI stands for sensitive compartmented information. If it's not SCI, it could very well be SAP, like SAP. That is special access program information. Now bear in mind that all military intelligence personnel have top secret SCI access to information, and so do many in the civilian agencies. Some have both top secret SCI and SAP access. All right, are you following me so far? Okay. People are given access to information that they only need to know, which protects them and our country's security. So if you don't need to know something, you are not, it is not given to you, so it can't be taken from you. And I don't necessarily mean documents, but I'm talking about tortured from you, or you get plowed one night and you start running off your mouth, okay? Anyway, so as Secretary of State, Hillary had the highest, or one of the highest, clearances in the country. And she most assuredly had access to top secret SCI and top secret SAP information. Now, what is top secret SCI? And again, now this is open source, and I will, as soon as I get the other page which I left in my office, I will properly cite the website where you can find this information. But top secret SCI information usually pertains to imagery intelligence, satellite programs, methods, satellites and their capabilities, whether it's the end product or whether it's the progress of, or the methodology or whatever. Top secret SCI also includes signals intelligence, often abbreviated SIGINT. SIGINT. All right. Now, these programs and methods are used to collect electronic information. So if there is a surveillance or a wiretap, audio, it's usually SIGINT, SIGINT. But it's top secret. Compartmentalized in signals intelligence information. And you know, again, eavesdropping on phone calls and listening to what the German chancellor's having for dinner, or who she's having for dinner. One of the most famous SIGINT programs in history, you might recall Enigma. The cracking of the German Enigma machine code, which enabled the United States to know every move the Nazis were making. This is important because the few people who knew about Enigma under this classification were told that if they ever revealed anything, if they ever revealed the Enigma secret to unauthorized personnel, you know what they were told? They would be shot. Shot. Not fired, not indicted, not scolded, not taken to the woodshed, but shot. The release of SCI information on unauthorized personnel could cause grave danger and damage to the United States and each and every one of us in the United States. So these morons, these idiots out there wearing or saying, Hillary, you know, she didn't do anything wrong. I'll get to that. Top secret SAP information. Remember, SAP is the that classification is the special access program. What that is, it usually pertains to human intelligence or HUMINT. You've got SIGINT and HUMINT. Special access programs, SCI. Okay. That's basically what that is. It's the investigative result of surveillance and investigation and research, spying operations, we'll say. Usually from sources embedded in other countries. Now, I'm telling you what came across her server. So like SCI, SAP information also has code names. Obviously. Code names that are associated with the operation. You've all heard of Operation Paperclip, Operation Speak to Me Joe, Operation whatever. Okay, you know, I mean, you name it. There's a name for it out there. SAP information, the release of that could cause actually danger to people who are working behind enemy lines or working in countries. Can you imagine, for example, here you're a spy, James Bond. And you got some dope like Hillary Clinton putting an odd information about you on an unsecured server. Half the time, people won't even sign into Facebook on an unsecured server. Any release, any breach of the information and breach of security could indeed put the lives of our foreign sources in extreme mortal danger. Now, as Secretary of State, Clinton dealt with classified information every single day, every hour of every day, some of it SCI, some of it SAP. And again, just to recap, SCI, Sensitive Compartmentalized Information, SAP, Special Access Programs, SIGINT and HUMINT, Signals Intelligence and Human Intelligence. Yet, what did she say? Oh, I never received any classified information or information marked classified. How then would she even conduct business in her position as Secretary of State? Did she merely send emails of Hillary or Chelsea's what was it, nuptials? Chocolate chip recipes? What? What did she send? If she didn't send classified information, because this information is classified from beginning to end, end of story. What she was probably doing, and this is according to the website, which I will cite. I got my hands on the document. What she was most likely doing was telling her staff to delete the classification levels from the top and bottom of each email page. And again, I just show you this as the example. This is not put on there on the top there, if you can see that. That's not put on there for show. That's put on there for a reason. Now, these do become declassified, which is actually why I'm holding this one as opposed to not being in jail for it. Okay. It's actually, you can see, it's unclassified, which has been declassified. Anyway, it's Joe's, his anyway, so if you come after, throw him in the slammer. All right. So she was probably telling her staff to delete the classification levels at the top and bottom of each email page and then send them to her to remove the classification levels. By the way, To remove this right here, to remove that, it's a felony. It's a felony if you take it, if you remove it. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It's a felony. You take it off, you just committed a felony. Now, there's another part of her argument that's just absolutely ridiculous. And that's her consistent statement that she never handled information that on her non-secure server that was classified at the time. So, think about that. No, I never handled this. It never classified at that time. Because why does she even say that? Why would she even say that? Because she knows that if she did, automatically that's a felony right there. So she could not, she couldn't admit to it. Because she'd be admitting to a felony. Classified information is not, and I'm citing now this website, classified information is not an egg. It doesn't incubate and then hatch and then suddenly become classified in one day. It's either classified from the first day, from day one, from the moment it's made, or it is not classified at all. To believe that she never received any classified information on her unsecured, unprotected, unencrypted server strains credulity at best. And there's no doubt that the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, the North Koreans, and the other enemies of the state all have some or more of her many classified emails. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You know how easy it is, or seemingly easy it is, for hackers to break into banks and retail stores, lists, get your PIN number, get your ID. At the nation-state level, don't you think that top diplomats are under surveillance every single moment of every day by numerous enemies? Of course they are. Yet none of these gutless, spineless people in Washington are bringing charges against this witch. And I use that term in its proper sense. Why? How many people are dead because of this witch? You've got to understand that our enemies know a lot more about our satellites, our signal intelligence, our capabilities, our other special access programs, our human intelligence sources, and other information. This gives them insight into how we operate. Thanks to Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. And no one is holding her accountable for this. 147 today, 147 agents from the FBI are working on this case because they know exactly how serious this is. So some dipwad on some forum or Facebook sticking up for this witch, saying, well, it's all a political show. Yeah. You tell that to the family of the star on the wall. Of the good guys now. Not the criminal cabal, but the good guys. She walks around like she's free. Nothing's happened. She needs to be in prison. I hope I explained why she needs to be in prison. I hope I explained clarified exactly what's going on with Hillary Rodham Clinton in terms of what she did. And Huma Abedin, her body double, I'm sure participated in this. This is my view based on my research, my investigation. Participated in this was the recipient and the sender, Sid Blumenthal, again the recipient and the sender, and others within and outside of our government. And I'm sure that there are some embarrassing facts about Huma Abedin embedded within these emails as well, and Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now that's my supposition based on my research, but it's a reasoned supposition. But for the criminal activity, Joe, of this witch exposing our national intelligence, both signal intelligence and human intelligence, to the enemy and our enemies, and putting people's lives at risk and putting our national security at risk, and you've got 147 FBI agents on this, and there needs to be an indictment. There needs to be an indictment right flipping now. Get off, and we need to demand that our legislators, or that the lawmakers, that these people, and see the other half of this equation. She wasn't just talking to Abedin and Sid Blumenthal and others. She was talking to Obama, and Obama knows this. She was talking to both Republicans and Democrats on the various committees and subcommittees. Intelligence information. You see, this is why we need not just an investigation, but an aggressive investigation by the FBI, by the Senate. We need an indictment, and we need one right now. She should not be free to walk among us another day if it is found that she engaged in this behavior. I'll slap the cuffs on her. Give me the cuffs. Let me do it. And again, to these dipwads out there who are saying that there's nothing here, I keep dreaming. And that is my opening statement.
All right. We got about 24 minutes left until the top of the hour break. We're going to be covering some important news. And after the break, we're going to be taking your phone calls, listener phone calls, for the remainder of the show. Preference goes to first-time callers. You can call in to comment about anything, questions, comments, concerns, any news items that you find interesting or want to talk about. Pretty much anything. Anything out there that you want to get into, we will get into it. Now, some news of the day. There are several things going on. I don't know if you saw this, but the president today, or I'm sorry, yesterday.
Please don't do that.
Gave a proclamation.
Please consult Law the rules Day, of the show.
Law Day USA 2016 by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation underpinning American democracy and upholding the founding principles of our nation. The law enshrines our bedrock belief in equality and justice for all. Central to securing these ideals is ensuring that every American's fundamental, constitutionally guaranteed individual rights are protected. And by respecting these rights, our nation demonstrates its unwavering dedication to the law. And it goes on from here. What he's doing here is he says, on this year, Law Day, we celebrate 50 years since the Supreme Court's ruling of Miranda versus Arizona. The landmark decision made clear that the Fifth Amendment serves to protect all persons and settings which their freedom of action is curtailed in any way significant from being compelled to incriminate themselves. And it goes on. This presidential memorandum goes on. But there's a few interesting things that I found in here and thought about while reading this. One, this was released on the 27th of April. And this is for the recognizing of Law Day USA for May 1st, 2016, May Day. Also, the Law Day 2016 or Law Day USA 2016 is pretty much null and void with the NDAA. It talks about promoting American civil rights and their constitutional rights, and how there is ability of a person accused to have certain limitations for police purposes, or I'm sorry, for the defendant's purposes, rights that cannot be infringed upon, like their Fifth Amendment right here. They say that, you know, anything they say, anything somebody says can't be used against them unless their Miranda rights have been read to them. So there's a 50-year anniversary of the Miranda rights, but that as you come
sorry.
Back here.
Sorry.
Law Day USA,
yep.
2016, issued by the president yesterday. I'm sorry, the renegade yesterday.
Yeah, thank you.
Is established to be May 1st, 2016.
Well, isn't that an interesting date, ladies and gentlemen? May Day, we know what May 1st is, right? We know that what Beltane, the satanic significance of May 1st. Go ahead.
And then he goes on to say that the, our constitutional rights are essential to freedom and to safeguarding the democracy of all our citizens across this country. and that it is the government's duty to the public to fulfill their civic responsibilities in this vital task to uphold the law, not only uphold the law, but inform those of their rights. But like I said, it's all moot because, you know, we have the NDAA where there is no due process, there is no Miranda rights, there is no trial, there is no interrogation. I mean, they can just disappear you. But I just thought that was rather interesting. May 1st, 2016 is being celebrated as the 50-year anniversary of the law, of their first Law Day. So Law Day 2016 is on May 1st.
May 1st, and that tells me that that's a lawless day. I think we could turn that into lawlessness day because essentially May 1st, May Day, the communism, that's what this is. I mean, that, you know, you've got to understand the occult significance that these people are trying to push upon us, much like they're hijacking our Christian holidays, they're hijacking these freedom days. And so they're laughing at us, they're putting this in our faces.
Yes, they are.
Before you move on, I just want to mention USDefense.com is the, USDefenseWatch.com. USDefenseWatch.com. That was the their website on the open source information about the various classifications you can find about the intelligence. And if I may, just before you go on, I just want to do this. You see, I take notes, okay? This, I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah.
Okay, these are my notes. I don't use small paper. It's a flow chart. But I just want to throw out these names here real quick. Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton's email address at the time was hdr22@clintonemail.com. So if you know, hey, you want to wish her well, there you go. David Kendall, lawyer for Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton, in, I also want to throw out some other names here. Eric Hotham, H-O-T-H-E-M. He was a licensed stockbroker since 2003. He worked at Citigroup from 2001, J.P. Morgan in May of 2013. What was considered, in 1997, was a special assistant to the Clinton family. He was a technological expert. And in 2002, per the congressional report, the House Government Reform Committee, he had actually wired $15,000 to Roger Clinton in 2002. In a 2002 congressional report by the House Government Reform Committee revealed that in March of 2001, he had wired $15,000 to Roger Clinton from a Citibank account linked to his own account. So there's some shenanigans taking place there. And this link to Roger Clinton, this is about pardoning, presidential pardons and so on. So there's cross-party things taking place. His wife, by the way, Eric Hotham's wife, Sue Hotham, works for Benchmark Strategies, fundraiser for political causes, I should say, in Washington, D.C. She's also listed as the vice president of a company called TechNet. She previously held various positions in Democratic leadership. I won't get into this. I'm just going through this very quickly. Brian Pagliano, Clinton computer IT director, paid by the Clintons and Senate leadership PAC, okay, the Political Action Committee. Now, this is the benefit of our research here. From May of 2009, Brian Pagliano, after setting up the server and setting up the IT, being the IT director for Hillary Clinton, May 2009 was given a job, as I said, as an IT person with the Department of State. The Department of State Chief Information Officer in 2008, Susan Swart, she retired a few months before Hillary Clinton left the Department of State to... You want to take a guess where she retired to? Hold on. Let me save you the trouble. The IMF. Okay. She's now the Associate Director of IMF's Technology and Government Services Department. So, the Department of State, when Hillary Clinton was at State, the Department of State Chief Information Officer Susan Swart began in 2008, left right before Clinton did, retired to the IMF, and so she's aware of all of this as well. Cheryl Mills. Now, Cheryl Mills was, you know, special assistant to Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. There's a lot of shenanigans here with the various Inspector General reports and Inspector General investigations, the people who are friends with Patrick Kennedy, who are friends with Sid Blumenthal, who are friends with, for example, Hillary Rodham Clinton and Huma Abedin, and all of this is just an incestuous cesspool of junk. Department of State Inspector General left in 2008. The Department of State was supposed to have an IG. Did they have an IG? No. The last one was Howard Krongard. He retired in 2007. So the Department of State was without an IG during all of Clinton's machinations. Yeah, nice presidential candidate, right? Hopefully, folks, I didn't mean to interrupt, take you off your flow, but I want to make sure I got that in.
No, I don't really have a flow going today.
Get flowed up.
Kind of, I don't know. I'd say just wiped out. I was telling Eric earlier, feel like I kind of ran a marathon yesterday or something, just all sore for no reason. One of those days where you're just physically and mentally tired. But no, we will continue and move on. I want to hit this news piece before we hit the top of the hour break. New report shows police preparing for rioting on a national scale.
Gee. Do you think where they're going to riot, in Boise, Idaho, or where?
Well, a new report from analysts with industry research group Sandler Research forecasts the global riot control system market for the next 4 years, but beyond a market parallel to the expanding global police state, it appears world governments are also keenly aware of civilian discontent, and they predict that the market will have an annual growth of 3.5%. That involves the United States, but they say law enforcement agencies around the world are the biggest market for riot control systems, and this market is expected to generate revenues over $3.5 billion in the next 3 years.
What market?
The riot control systems market.
Go figure.
This riot control
Mayberry
systems
is
market.
No longer.
It consists of riot control equipment from non-lethal weapons to water cannons, security personnel, taser guns, sound weapons. In North America, the prominent markets are Canada and the U.S.
Yep.
Law enforcement
yep.
agencies in those nations are best equipped with the upgraded weapons. The militarization of the police departments and other law enforcement agencies in the Americas has encouraged the use of advanced riot control equipment across the globe.
And believe me, it's going to be used. Now, Steve Quayle is going to be talking about this tomorrow night with Greg Evenson. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night. Steve Quayle, Greg Evenson, we're going to be talking about this very issue as well. But they're not buying this not to use it at some point. They're going to be cracking heads, and the heads they're going to be cracking are our own, are our heads.
It's absolutely right. It goes on to state, though, that not only is this a up-and-coming worldwide market, but they say Cleveland
yep.
at the convention. Considering massive worldwide demonstrations in the U.S. and elsewhere, people finally grasp how corrupt governments actually are. It becomes apparent in these reports that politicians and their enforcement agencies comprehend the greatest threat to their power.
Yep.
That is the people. Even the city of Cleveland gears up for the Republican National Convention. Voters and non-voters alike harbor greater disillusionment than ever before. Cleveland, whose police are currently under federal oversight following a Department of Justice probe that found a general pattern of brutality, plans to spend around $20 million to beef up security measures for the RNC. What the money will go to, the sum will focus on training, personnel expenditures, and Vox reported 40% will be earmarked for equipment and supplies, including, in part, 2,000 sets of full-body riot gear. Right. Additionally, if not ominously, the city had put out bids, among other things, for 24 set of ballistic 24 sets of ballistic body armor, 300 patrol bikes, and more than 3.7 miles of interlocking steel barriers, which can be used to curtail protesters, as well as any
traffic. And don't forget, you're going to be forced, people are going to be forced into no-go, or free speech zones, I should say. Mm-hmm. There will be a no-go zone around the convention center. It's going to be more difficult to, we are now seeing the Orwellian, the effects of this Orwellian policies. I can't think of any other way to put it. However, imagine a situation, and please think outside of the box when you start thinking about this, because certain researchers and certain people have come up with different scenarios saying, you know, something is going to take place, and I do believe that they will. The powers behind the powers will try to do something. We'll try to do something that will cause or evoke some sort of reaction. And I don't have any hard intelligence on this, but what my sources are telling me, and I've got a couple of good sources inside the intelligence venue, are telling me that. Because they're in the fashion that they are preparing, they're expecting a tremendous response from, ostensibly from the right. Now, I don't see that taking place. I see people from the progressive causes like Black Lives Matter and what are the other ones? Any other various groups who will oppose or present themselves perhaps as unhappy about, we'll say, about Trump maybe not getting the nomination or something, whatever. It doesn't matter. But the response is going to be swift and severe against the people. And, of course, the intent here is to cause riots. And I stand by my article back in 2011, 2012, 2013. Check it out at Canada Free Press. Check it out at HomelandSecurityUS.com. And I'm going to be revisiting this as well, saying that this, the people within the power structure want a civil war. They want to provoke the people to a civil war, and it's coming. And we could be. And you know what? We've never seen such. And I don't believe we. Joe, do you tell me? Have we ever seen such a radical division, divide, a deep divide among families and friends and people? This ideological divide, which even the bathroom situation. You have people who don't care, and then you got people who care. You got people who don't see that as a threat because they're delusional and they're not adhering to reality. And then you got people who understand what the threat is and the magnitude of the threat, but can't get through to the morons on the other side who believe that they're doing something, you know, Christian-like. There's nothing Christian about whatever they're doing with respect to bathrooms.
Yeah, did you see what Alabama did today?
Alabama and I are not on speaking terms.
Alabama City, use bathrooms matching biological sex or face 6 months in jail.
Say what?
In Alabama,
6 months in jail, right?
In Alabama, transgender people in Oxford, Alabama could now face 6 months in jail for using restrooms labeled for the gender which they identify.
Wait a minute.
Transgender people in Alabama could now face 6 months in jail for using restrooms labeled for the gender which they identify.
So if a guy's got the plumbing of a guy, goes into a women's restroom, they could be jailed.
Right.
Okay, they're arrested.
But, yeah.
All right. That's good. That's good. Where's that at?
Except this is in Oxford, Alabama.
All right. So that's good.
The only problem with this is they say the law is going to be very hard to enforce because how are you? I mean, they go on to this is what
I have a simple solution to that, folks. You want to hear it? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, no, what they're saying is
Eric knows.
This is what it says. The ordinance does not explicitly mention the term transgender. When the city isn't trying to discriminate, but is trying to prevent people from abusing policies such as Target. The Target bathroom policy and using them to prey on people. The law includes some expectations such as adults occupying children under the age of 12. Those violating the ordinance could face 6 months in jail or a $500 fine. Oxford Police Chief Bill Partridge did not return CNN call for comment, but he told CNN affiliate WBRC that the law would be enforced just like any other for a misdemeanor. A person would have to call the police and complain. When the police arrive, the officer would have to witness the crime.
No, no, no. Well, all right. Only because, yeah.
And after that, the person who called,
that is something
in the complaint would have to sign a warrant.
Right.
And the new law comes amid a spate of bathroom policies affecting transgendered people across the country.
A cop can't arrest somebody who allegedly committed a misdemeanor on the word of someone else. Okay. I oversimplified that, but yeah. That's the gist of it. Okay. And I got to tell you this, okay, since you're not feeling like 100%, right?
Well, I'm just...
I remember, this kind of goes along with the story. I remember, folks, I remember I was working for an attorney, and the attorney gave me a list of people I had to go interview. And this one, well, I went into, this was a huge case, and one of the witnesses, I was supposed to evaluate the credibility of the witness, and I remember going into, and the name was, I'll just give the first name, obviously, Pat. Yeah, Saturday Night Live, Pat, okay? Alright, so this is at night, and this is in a kind of really shady section of a city I was in, and I was alone, and I remember going up, walking up the stairs, knock on the door. This is an apartment building in this kind of this really blighted area, and it was you just didn't want to be there after dark, and it was dark. So I walk up the stairs, Joe, and knock on the apartment door. And this woman opens the door. She's in the house dress, kind of like I'd say a house dress, one of those old fashioned dresses you see that go down to your knees, you know. Had socks up to her, well, halfway up her calves, and had slippers on. And I said, "Are you Pat?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Hey, you know, I showed her my identification. I said, "We need to talk. I want to interview you about what you saw about this one incident." And she said, "Sure, come on in and have a seat at the table." And so we're sitting down there. And I'll never forget this. I'm typing and I'm looking and I'm thinking, no, wait a second. Cause you know, you got to get your full name and date of birth and so on. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, ain't what it appears to be. Anyway, I'm getting a little bit uncomfortable because I obviously. And then she pulls a Sharon Stone, move on me. Not in a provocative way, in a way a guy might do it. Okay, sits back and kind of leans back and shows her his wares. Again, not provocatively, but just matter of factly. So I'm looking at her extra equipment. It wasn't a her; it was a he. I guess is my whole point. And this is back in the late 80s, early 90s, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's something, I mean, this is just plain wrong. So the credibility of a witness, Joe, how would you, seriously, and the reason I brought this up is because how can you even, at the end of the day, when we looked at all of the witnesses, despite the information this individual had, the credibility was not there. And if this person is confused about gender or misrepresenting, it was more appropriate his gender to be a woman. My question is, aside from it being morally wrong, help me out here. I mean, it's just wrong. It's just wrong.
Absolutely. We're at the top of the hour break, folks. We're going to take your calls on the other side. If you want to call in,
or don't,
844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944.
And if we don't like what you're saying, we're going to hang up on you.
Any and all callers, first-time caller preferences, but please call in, share with us.
Talk to us.
Yeah, we want to hear from you.
Talk to us.
These call-in shows we're doing once a week are for you as well as for us, so let's make it happen. We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio.